What's up, bitches? This is Mama Knows Anime, serving you an unfiltered dish of anime reviews, recommendations, rants, 18 and up games, and also astrology readings on anime characters. What? Yes, it's a thing because I made it a thing. Today, I will be hosting the most badass demons of anime showdown tournament. I have 8 demons in anime who have come to my house to battle it out to see who should deserve the title of most badass demon of anime. We will also be doing a Mama Throws It Back, which is where I start to get up and twerk. Just kidding, I do not twerk up in here. We are more wholesome than that. However, I will be throwing it back to an anime that has already happened, because in this segment I go over one specific anime that is out of season, or maybe it'd be a couple years old, maybe 20 years old, but it's still a real good quality anime that I recommend you. It's just an anime that we looked over that you probably haven't heard of. Because a lot of times what happens every year is that people want to review the new anime. What's out right now, what's hot right now, which is good. But sometimes I want to see anime from 2015 that is still has a great story that I just missed because it was overshadowed by, I don't know, Tokyo Ghoul or whatever hot anime was at that time. And we're going to talk more about that. The anime I have in mind is actually from the summer of 2016. It's so good. I can't wait to talk about it with you all. And also, I will be doing a live astrology reading on the one, the only, Katsuki Bakugo from Boku no Hero Academia. Yes, I'll be doing an astrology reading on an anime character. Some of you may think, how the hell is that possible? But bear with me, it's gonna be good. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride, because Mama's gonna take care of you and all of your anime needs. Let's do it. Oh, hey, everyone, the demons are in the house for the most badass demon of all time showdown tournament. They are all gathered here today to prove who is worth the title of most badass demons of anime. Now, without further ado, let's get the show started, everyone, with round one. How this works is I will call out 2 demons at a time to face against each other, and I will talk about and discuss who I think will win in this fight based on popularity, based on savagery, also based on strength. No, for round one, we have Sebastian from Black Butler versus Nezuko from Kimetsu no Yaiba, or if you want to be English about it, Demon Slayer. So, between Nezuko and Sebastian, who would win this fight based on popularity, strength, savagery, brutality? I'm sorry, I'd have to say my girl Nezuko is the winner of this round. Yes, we all know Sebastian. He is one hell of a butler. He is one hell of a dancer. One hell of a fighter. However, he is one hell of a fighter against other humans in that world he lives in. If you put him up against demons like Nezuko or even other demons like Hibutsuji, he does not stand a chance. He will get his ass kicked and with the floor wiped with his organs. May I remind you of the first half of season 1 when Nezuko became a pro soccer player and started kicking the shit out of the Otomaris? Alright, she got some strength. Also, let's talk about how she can just conjure fire out of nowhere and just start blasting people and demons with her fire abilities. I honestly think she'll burn Sebastian alive. So, Nezuko, you are the winner of this round. Nezuko, you shall advance to the semifinals. Please take your seat in the semifinals ring. All right, now round two of the preliminaries of Most Badass Demon in Anime Tournament. We have Inuyasha from the self-proclaimed Inuyasha versus Ken Kaneki from Tokyo Ghoul. Now, before anyone out there wants to argue with me that Ken Kaneki is not half demon, let me get it straight to you, all right? If ghouls are not demons, then what are they? They eat humans. They have supernatural strength. They are not of this world. They are practically demons. So I'm going to say that ghouls are demons. That includes Mr. Rize Kameshiro. That includes the owl. They are practically demons, just a different terminology. So Kaneki is a half ghoul, half demon. So who will advance to the next round? Inuyasha or Kaneki? So, I will say, I love both of these characters. They are so awesome. Inuyasha was actually the first anime I've ever watched. And this was when I was like 7 years old. He is a favorite of mine. Kaneki, I cried watching this during college, going through the hardest years of my life. They are both super strong. However, my argument with this matchup, my argument with Inuyasha mainly, is that Inuyasha, yes, is very strong with Tetsaiga. If you take that sword out of his hands, he has nowhere near the amount of power as he has with Tetsaiga. Don't get me wrong, Inuyasha is still a very powerful demon without Tetsaiga. He is a very overwhelming demon to humans. He actually, whenever him and Sesshomaru were fighting, Inuyasha lost Tetsaiga, and he actually started turning into his true demon form. And his older brother Sesshomaru, who has much more natural strength than he does, was attacking him. However, he felt a little shiver come down his spine. He hesitated whenever he was about to attack Inuyasha because he said the air around Inuyasha felt much more threatening. It felt so much more dramatic. Like, it was such a huge change in the air. And that's because Inuyasha's demon form is very intimidating. However, as intimidating as it is, it's still not enough to go against Kaneki. Inuyasha, all he has is blades of blood when he has his bare hands. That's not going to be enough against Kaneki. Inuyasha doesn't even move fast enough, nor near the speeds of Kaneki can move. Let's go back to episode 12 of season 1 of Tokyo Ghoul to Kaneki's highlight of the year, where he was tortured. He was tortured. He had his toenails ripped off. He had his fingernails ripped off. He had his toenails broken. He saw people mercilessly get killed right in front of him, forced to watch it. He was going through some serious torture. And after that, he snapped. And the guy who took him prisoner was named Jason. And Kaneki. Also, let's keep in mind, Jason's a pretty big dude. Like, this motherfucker's at least 8 feet tall. Huge muscle mass. Kaneki gathers this strength, grabs Jason's, like, fist with his tiny little hand and throws him like he's Frieza or something out of nowhere. He starts kicking him around. He starts doing this Goku instant transmission shit, appearing out of nowhere. He kicks him in the air, does another Goku instant transmission shit, slams him down on the ground. Kaneki is gaining some serious speed and some crazy brute strength for a Japanese twink. Inuyasha honestly stands no chance against Kaneki because this is what's going to happen, right? This is what's going to happen. I can see it. I can see it right now. I can see it all happening. I can see it unfolding, all right? Inuyasha and Kaneki look into each other's eyes. Right before the showdown, Inuyasha withdraws his Tetsaiga. He unveils his wind scar. Kaneki quickly evades the attack. Somehow does that Goku instant transmission shit around Inuyasha. Inuyasha turns around, but it's too late because Kaneki plunges his red little tails that I forgot the names of right to Inuyasha's heart. Maybe not his heart, but maybe his organ. Inuyasha tries to avoid it, but he can't. He gets hit. He's badly injured. Now Inuyasha goes for one final blow, and that's the adamant barrage. However, we realize that Kaneki is still moving at crazy fast speeds. He dodges the adamant barrage, and what happens next? Kaneki does the instant transmission again. Cuts Inuyasha's arm off. Maybe not cut it off. Maybe just knock the sword out of his hands. Either way, he takes the sword out of his hands, and now Inuyasha is powerless. Only with the technique Blades of Blood, which is not going to do shit against Ken Kaneki, because Ken Kaneki will easily evade it and annihilate him. So what happens after that is Ken Kaneki just rips Inuyasha to shreds, just like that. Which is why he's advancing to the next round. Alright, Mr. King Kaneki, if you do not mind going to the waiting lobby so that way we can call you for whenever you are about to start your next round. But for now, let's introduce our next competitors. We have Sesshomaru from Inuyasha. How ironic. Versus Teresa from Claymore. Who shall win? Sesshomaru, who is Inuyasha's almighty more powerful brother? Or Teresa of the Faint Smile? Honestly, these two match up very well against each other. Let's keep in mind, Sesshomaru has three swords. One, Tensega, which is the sword of healing. Two, Tokijin, which is the sword he has for mass destruction. And three, Bakusaiga, which is the sword to revive. So he has the survival kit to pretty much win a battle. But let's not forget also his true demonic form, which is even more powerful than him in his human-looking form. But we cannot forget Miss Teresa's master swordsmanship. She is skilled when it comes to the blade. She is crazy fast, super, super strong. May I remind you of the episode when she fought against the rest of the top five Claymore and single-handedly wiped the floor with them, not even using her full entire power, not even unveiling half of her power, and still defeated four Claymore at once. Let's not forget that. But is it enough to go against the demon Sesshomaru, whose speeds are just as fast as hers, whose strength is just as fast as hers, if not even more, whose intimidating glare is just as intimidating as hers, if not more? The reason why I am concerned for Teresa is just like Inuyasha. She is crazy strong. But when it comes to not having the blade, she can't do anything. Her speed and her strength comes from within. However, she has to have the blade to actually kill. Without the blade, she doesn't have a specific power. Yes, she's strong, but she can't just like slice a 10-story tall demon in half with just three fingers like Sesshomaru. And also Sesshomaru, whenever he goes into his true demon form, becomes this huge wolf that Teresa from Claymore can probably slay with her sword. However, if that is out of the picture, if that is broken, if that is torn somewhere, she can't do anything. Also, I don't know about you, but I really don't think Teresa's swords have anywhere near as much power as Sesshomaru's swords do. Let's keep in mind, yes, Teresa has a sword, but can it heal? Can it revive the dead? Can it slay 1,000 demons? No, Tokijin actually has the power to slay 1,000+ demons. That blast that Sesshomaru will throw out there with Tokijin will evaporate Teresa. Like, there's no way she can evade that. It's too big for her. So, without further ado, I think we have our winner. I'm sorry, Miss Teresa. You were kind, you were sweet, and you was important. However, you just lost to Sesshomaru from Inuyasha. No. Is that all y'all got? Come on, show some more love to my brother Sesshomaru. Y'all can do better than that. Thank you. That's what I like to hear. Thank you. All right. And now for the next and final round of the preliminaries, we have Father from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood versus Mutsan Kibutsuji from Kimetsu no Yaiba. That's an ass whooping right there waiting to happen. Like, Father, I respect you. You created the seven deadly sins. You can conjure anything out of nothing. Your alchemy is superb compared to everyone else. You are the OG homunculus, like, goals, like, respect. But you are nothing compared to Kibutsuji. He will appear out of thin air and slice your head off in just 0.2 seconds, okay? He is crazy godlike power. And let's not forget, Mother is a savage, okay? He single-handedly wiped the floor with 4 of the lower-ranked 12 Kizuki members, just without even a qualm, without even a problem, just devoured them. Brutally annihilated them. I'm over here like, goddamn, this motherfucker is cold. Jesus. And that's just Kibutsuji. He is a straight savage. Gives no fucks. All he wants is perfection. If you do not give him perfection, he gets angry because he is not getting what he wants. He is crazy strong. When one of the 12 Kizuki tried to run away from the fight, well, it wasn't really a fight, it was more like a beatdown. But when one of the 12 Kizuki tried to run away from him, he was moving at some crazy speeds, left, right, go, up, down. He was going fast. However, Kibutsuji somehow appeared out of just nowhere using this Goku instant transmission shit. I'm telling you, everybody's doing some Goku shit. Just using this Goku instant transmission shit. Homeboy turned right, and next thing he knew, his head was cut off. Okay, I will repeat that. The demon just looked to his right, and out of nowhere, he was back where he was with his head torn off his whole body. Like, Kibutsuji did that. What the hell do you think he's going to do to Father? Like, Father can put up a good fight against him, and Kibutsuji is just going to be like, ho ho ho, this is the first time in 500 years anyone has let me use 25% of my power. Be glad you are witnessing this moment. And just wipe the floor with him and kill him right there. Because I'm telling you, what's going to happen is Father shoots a spear, right? He shoots a spear from the ground with his alchemy. Kibutsuji, the spear is coming right at Kibutsuji's face. It is 1 centimeter away from his face. However, Kibutsuji does Goku instant transmission. Next thing you know, Father's like, what? And Kibutsuji is like, yes. Then Kibutsuji appears right behind Father. Father turns around, but it's too late. Blood spurts everywhere from Father. We didn't even see it. We didn't even see Kibutsuji lift his hand, and Father has already been cut in half. More than likely, what's going to happen is that. So, advancing to the next round is Kibutsuji from Kimetsu no Yaiba. Alright, time for the semifinals. We now have Nezuko from Kimetsu no Yaiba versus Ken Kaneki from Tokyo Ghoul. I'm sorry, I couldn't keep that in. Well, Nezuko, hate to break it to you, but you're about to get your ass kicked in this round. Just keeping it real. Like, I love you, girl. I know you got some mad fire skills under your belt. You're working on becoming stronger. You're not devouring humans. Mad props to you. But Kaneki's about to wipe the floor with your ass. I love you, girl, but the minute he shoots out them red tails that I forgot the name of, you are going to be in trouble. And also, you are not as fast as him. He is super fast, super strong, has the strength of 10 strong other ghouls, okay? Like, I just don't think you're going to stand a chance. No, you're not. So, with that being said, Nezuko, you have been eliminated, and Kaneki, you will advance to the finals. Yes. Now for the final round of the semifinals, we have Sesshomaru from Inuyasha versus Mutsan Kubutsuji from Kimetsu no Yaiba. Oh boy, that's a tough one. So, Sesshomaru, you are crazy fast. Probably just as fast as Kubutsuji. When it comes to strength, I don't know Kubutsuji's full strength and potential, but you are super strong and can slay 1,000+ demons. When it comes to savagery, you're not as savage as Kubutsuji, but you can be pretty cold-blooded. However, if you ask me, I don't think Sesshomaru is... He would put up a good fight. I will say that. Sesshomaru will put up a really, really good fight. Like, I would love to see Sesshomaru versus Kubutsuji in an anime. Please, anime gods out there, if anyone is listening who creates anime, please put Sesshomaru and Mutsan Kubutsuji against each other, because that would be awesome. I would like to see how this turns out. However, as of right now, I personally think Kubutsuji would win the fight. And Sesshomaru would just barely surpass, like just barely be able to beat him. I think he would rough Kubutsuji up a lot, but I don't think that he can beat him. Like, I can see it now. Sesshomaru pulls out that Tokijin and like starts blasting away at Mutsan, and Kibutsuji's like, what? I've never seen a power like this. This is entertaining. I guess I have to show 50% of my power now. And Sesshomaru is almost completely paralyzed by 50% of his power. And now Sesshomaru has to reveal his true demon form. And then Kubutsuji has to reveal his true demon form, because you know good and damn well we haven't seen that shit yet. And then now the both of them are battling each other out in their true demon forms. And we don't know who's going to win. It's close neck and neck, but personally, I have to choose Kubutsuji as the winner, just because we don't know how strong Kubutsuji really is. If we're going off of the strength that we know that Kubutsuji has, then yeah, I'll say Sesshomaru and Kubutsuji would probably be a good neck and neck fight, like maybe tied. However, we have to realize Kubutsuji has not shown his full strength to us. We also have to remember that the 12 Kizuki represent only a fraction of Kibutsuji's power, okay? And I don't know if you remember this, but we have seen only one of the 12 Kizuki actually engage in a fight with Tanjiro, and then we've seen a former 12 Kizuki member engage in a fight with Tanjiro. And they were seriously strong. And that was the lower ranks, okay? If those were the lower ranks who were making Tanjiro work up a fight and almost getting himself killed, just imagine the upper ranks. Just imagine how strong Kubutsuji is. I know Sesshomaru is strong, and if you look at Kubutsuji's strength now, the strength that we know of, then yeah, he may be neck and neck with Kubutsuji. But we can't think like that. We have to realize that Kibutsuji's strength is still unknown. The power he has is still unknown. He could probably be a demon god for all we know. So with that knowledge in mind, I love you, Sesshomaru. You have put up an awesome fight. You have been to hell and back. You probably roughed up Kubutsuji, making him show 50 to 75% of his power, which no one has done in centuries. However, you have lost the battle, therefore being eliminated from the tournament. And Kubutsuji shall advance to the next round. Mutsan Kubutsuji, you have made it to the finals. Please escort yourself to the finals ring. And now for the final round. Who will win the title of most badass demon in anime of all time? For the final round, ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens, and all of those who are in between, I present to you your competitors, Ken Kaneki from Tokyo Ghoul versus Muzan Kibutsuji from Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba. All I'm going to say is, I feel like Kibutsuji was roughed up more in the last round versus Sesshomaru than he is with Kaneki. I'm just keeping it real. Okay, Kaneki, I love you. But I think the reason why you're going to lose this round is because you have identity issues. You are currently going, well, you have recently gone through an identity crisis, lost who you are in the previous season of Tokyo Ghoul Re. We're not even going to talk about that because that was an abomination to the Tokyo Ghoul franchise. So meanwhile, Kibutsuji is going to be kicking ass left and right. Kaneki, you're going to be stuck trying to figure out still, who am I? Am I this person or am I this person? I just don't want to be me anymore. I don't want to take this. Meanwhile, Kibutsuji is just ripping you to shreds, wiping the floor with you with your organs because, you know, that's how he rolls. All right? I'm honestly laughing because the previous match with Sesshomaru actually gave Kibutsuji more of a sweat than Kaneki is going to give him. So with that being said, yeah, Kibutsuji, congratulations. You are the winner of the most badass demon in anime showdown tournament. So congratulations, you have the new title of most badass demon in anime. Once again, I'll say it. Muzan Kibutsuji, you are the most badass demon in anime. And you have been declared that title by me. And all of your beautiful fans out there who are probably terrified and intimidated by you. So congratulations, you got what you wanted. And are you surprised? Are we all surprised? No, because Kibutsuji gets everything he wants. But nonetheless, congratulations, Mr. Kibutsuji. Now, if you do not mind, the door is over there. If you can kindly take your exit. Oh. Okay, well. Those eyes do not look good. All right. So. Hey there, everyone. We will now be recording the podcast from this wonderful new apartment that I have in Minneapolis versus the previous home that I had because Kibutsuji took over it, and I'm pretty sure if I went back, my head would be taken off my body. Demo! It is now time for Mama Throws It Back, which is where I do not twerk. This is where I just talk about a few anime or one in particular that has already taken place, that has already happened maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. It's an anime that is not new, but these are anime that are still really, really quality good. These are just mainly anime that are underrated or have been overshadowed by the other popular anime at the time. Like, for example, last year, Banana Fish, supremely great anime, came out. However, it is not as popular because, A, it came out during the year of Devilman Crybaby and also My Hero Academia Season 3. And it also is only available on Amazon Prime, so a lot of people do not know about it. But that's why I am here, because I want to tell you some good stuff, some good shit that's out there that you probably overlooked, that I overlooked until I just randomly looked at my anime list in the top thousands, and hey, this anime I'm about to talk to you about today was up there, and I was surprised at how awesome it was. So the anime that I'm bringing to you today is called 91 Days. It's called 91 Days, and it's by Shuka Studios, and it came out in the summer of 2016. And let me tell you a little bit about this anime. Lies are told. Deception is made. People are betrayed. Trust is torn apart. And at the end of this whole entire anime, all you can ask is, damn, how in the hell is one man doing all this damage? How can one man pin a family against each other and have them kill each other? How can one man be so obsessed with revenge that it is tearing through everyone around him, and he's putting so many people in danger, and he's not even seeing it until the very last minute? The story takes place in the Prohibition era of America, and it centers around this boy named Angelo Locusa from the town of Lawless, who has witnessed a tragedy of seeing his brother, mother, and father killed right in front of him, gunned down right in front of him by the Veneti Mafia family. Alright, he was actually supposed to die that night as well in that house. However, he managed to escape. This is when he was like 7 or 9 years old, I think. He managed to escape, run away, left everything behind in Lawless. His dead family, everything he owned, his name. He changed his whole entire name and moved to a faraway town. He became a shell. He didn't really live for anything. Even his landlord was like, oh my god, this man is kind of creepy. Until 7 years later, flash forward, still in episode one, Angelo Locusa, now Bruno Avilio, receives this letter in the mail prompting him to go back to Lawless, and it gives him the three names of the men who murdered his family. So now this shell of a person who had nothing to live for sees this as his chance to spark revenge. He goes out and tries to take his revenge, befriending the Veneti Mafia family, befriending the Orco family as well, but befriending all these mafia families in order to get to the three men who killed his family. Befriend them, get close to them, and murder him when he wants to. However, it does not end like the way he plans it. I am just going to leave you with that. The ending is so good. I was honestly shocked how it ended. I thought maybe he'll get his revenge, maybe he will die, maybe this will happen, but no, it ends in a way you really don't see it coming. And the reason why I recommend this anime is because it follows the theme of this old Japanese quote, revenge is just a blade that strikes itself. And that quote is so powerful to me, especially when you think about revenge. All these people go out to get revenge, but what they really don't realize is that it ends up hurting them in the long run. And throughout the anime, you start seeing Bruno Avilio going through so much just to get his revenge, but losing so much along the way. However, he's so blinded by revenge, he doesn't even see it. But the best part of the whole entire series to me is just the irony of the series. The writers of this series really liked to use irony, because the end had me fucked. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, holy shit. This man who has spent so long and plotted so much and killed so many people just to get to this one man, finally has this man in the palm of his hands, yet he does not kill him. He actually admits in the very final episode why he doesn't kill him. And it's a reason that you will not see coming. I mean, if you watch the series, you can kind of pick it up, but I was just so like, dude, you really got some issues. I was just so like fucked when I saw this. I was like, dude, you spent so much time trying to kill this man, yet you can't do it because you fell in love with him. Oh my gosh. Now take that however you want. Take it as a fatherly love, brotherly love, sexual love. Take that however you want. But nonetheless, he falls in love with one of his enemies. And it becomes really hard for him to kill this person who actually gunned down his father. Who, you may ask? Who is the person he falls in love with? Who is the person who he does not want to gun down? You have to find out for yourself. It's such a good anime. I really recommend it. It's so many twists, turns, so much tension, so many lies, so much betrayal, but such good quality story. It is such a good story. I highly recommend it. If you like action, you need to watch it. If you like drama, you need to watch it. If you like mafia shit, you need to watch it. There's a lot of mafia shit going on in there. A lot of mafia shit. I mean, hell, it's centered around the mafia. Like, God, after watching this series, I didn't want to fuck with the mafia ever again in my whole entire life. I didn't fuck with them at all. Don't think that. If the mafia is watching, please don't think I'm fucking with you. No, I am not. That was just me saying I do not want to fuck with you. All right. If you like thriller, if you like suspense, if you like mystery, if you like a little bit of drama, then 91 Days is the right anime for you. I'm telling you, it's so good. And another great thing about the series is that the opening theme song is sung by the one and only TK from Linktosite Segore himself. And for those of you who actually watch the anime openers, you would probably know who TK is. He is God. TK is also known to create the opening theme song for the season 1 of Tokyo Ghoul. He is also known to, I'm pretty sure, create some theme songs for Psycho Pass. He created a lot of theme songs that are actually fleeing my head right now. Also, he created the opening theme song for Tokyo Ghoul Re, but we're not going to talk about that. But he is a legend and has a voice of many, many, many talents. I'm telling you, the whole show is a masterpiece. I was actually surprised how great it was. And if you look on myanimelist.com, 91 Days is actually ranked number 753 out of all the anime that exists right now. And number 753 is actually a pretty good number. It's a pretty good number. Like, how I see it is, if it's in the top 500, it's a really fucking great anime. If it's in the top 1,000, like 500 to 1,000, it's a really good anime. It's not as good as the other ones, but it's a solid anime. If it's between 1,000 and 1,500, it's probably good, but like, it could use some more adjustments, and it may not be something that you would watch be gung-ho for, you know? And if it's under 1,500, like 1,500 to 2,000, it's probably gonna just have so many holes or just suck. I don't even try to look at that shit, to be honest with you. But I do try to watch as much as I can to make reviews on it. However, 91 Days was number 753, making it a pretty solid anime. It's a 7.53 review on myanimelist.net, and probably a pretty solid review, pretty solid rating on some other charts. If you don't believe me, you have to see for yourself, because I'm telling you, this is a really good show. Ooh! After watching the series, I just finished it a couple nights ago, to be honest. And after watching it, I kind of felt heartbroken. Like, I got close to some of these characters. Oh my god. Now, it's not as heartbreaking as Banana Fish. Just throwing that out there. Banana Fish, I cried for days. Literally, after watching the ending of Banana Fish, I cried for a week. I couldn't go to work the next day, even though I did go to work. I was crying at work. I was holding onto the wall. I was sad. I was listening to sad rock music from the early 2000s because I was so fucking depressed. I'm telling you, it was a hot mess. But Banana Fish is so awesome. I do recommend that too. I will talk about that on another date. However, 91 Days, watch it. And now on to the last portion of the podcast, the final portion for today. We will be discussing a little bit of some astrology goodness. It's a talent of mine that I have had for years, and I also do tarot readings as well, so I have a pretty good dip into this pool, and I know what I'm talking about. So, for all of you astrology lovers and some people who maybe not know so much about it but think it's interesting, please tune your ears into this, because today we are going to be doing an astrology reading on the one and the only Kasuki Bakugo from Boku no Hero Academia. And this is going to be legend. Wait for it. I'm not going to finish because I feel like if I say the quote, then I'll get copyrighted. So I'll just let you hold on to that for there. I love you all. All right. So, Today we'll be doing an astrology reading on Bakugo from My Hero Academia. How this works is I look at the person, this anime character's personality, I look at their appearance, I look at how they present themselves, the actions they have created in this series, all the things that they have done, so that way I can get a good reading on them and give you their sun sign, which is pretty much like they're born on September 13th, they're Virgo, they're born on November 11th, they're Scorpio. That's the core of their being. But I will also give you their moon sign, which is relating to their intuition, why they act the way they act, what they kind of do second nature, and also their rising sign. The rising is how they present themselves. That's the energy that they give off. Okay. So, for Akatsuki Bakugo, pretty much what we know about him is that he has a very, 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 very fiery attitude. He is passionate. He is arrogant as well. He's very driven, but behind that driven nature, he is very aggressive. He goes about it in a very aggressive way. Also, Bakugo can be very rude. He can have a very short temper. But one thing that we've also seen through the series is that Bakugo has had several tastes of humble pie. After enrolling into UA High School, he realized, wait a second, I am not the top dog anymore. Wait a second, who's this Todoroki kid who's actually just as strong and not stronger than me? Wait a second, why is Deku the guy who I've been bullying for years, surpassing me in the class ranking? This isn't right. This is not how it's supposed to go. I was the strongest one. What about me? See what I'm saying? That's pretty much what's going on in Bakugo's head throughout the whole first season. Ego, ego, ego. What about me? I'm the strongest. No one shall surpass me. Ego. He has such an ego complex and a superiority complex. It is ridiculous. All right. However, despite that brute strength, despite that aggressive nature, despite that attitude that a lot of heroes see as villainous, he's actually very fucking smart. He's a master tactician. He's a great strategist. He's really quick on his feet. And how I know that is, let's look back at the USJ incident, whenever the villains attacked UA High School and they attacked Midoriya's and Bakugo's class. Let's not forget, whenever we had at least, I think it was like six students and one pro hero, if not two pro heroes, going up against this warp gate guy named Kudogiri. He has the body of like different portals and this black fog appearing from him, and around his neck is this metal brace. And all of the students were like, oh, I don't know how to defeat him. A lot of them tried, but he has the power to transport anything through his body or whatever he comes in contact with and making it appear in some other realm. Not other realm, but some other place that's nearby. So all of the students were like, how can we defeat him? What can we do? Some of the teachers tried to defeat him, but he whooped their ass. But Bakugo, literally within a matter of minutes, realize, that black fog around you, that's not your body. There is no way that's your body, because you have that metal brace on. That metal brace is protecting something. Wait a second, that's protecting your true body. So Bakugo went in and grabbed that metal brace and took him down and held him down just like that. And he proclaimed out loud, dude, if you were really invincible, you wouldn't have said, "Woo, that was close." Like, Bakugo is very observant. And he took down Kudogiri, which is a grade A villain, I'm pretty sure. Grade A rank out of all the League of Villains. Or was it a grade B? Either way, he was a pretty top tier rank, and Bakugo, who was not even a licensed hero, took him down just like that. So he's very observant, very quick on his feet, master strategist, super smart. Even though his ego and superiority complex can get in the way of that a lot of times, he is super just intelligent. And honestly, with that being said, I'm getting a lot of Aries, Leo, maybe a tad bit of Sagittarius or some Virgo qualities from him. I don't know for sure yet, but I'm going to look more into his personality and we're about to find out because I think I'm on the right track with the fire mixed in with that one bit of air going on. My bad, one bit of earth, not air. I don't know why I said air. My bad. All right, now let's look at that ego complex that Bakugo has, that god complex that he has going on in his body. All right, that muscular body. We're not going to go into that because he's 15 years old. I can't be saying that on international podcasting streaming services. However, Bakugo, one thing I respect about him is that he is super brute, super blunt, super blunt. He has such a curt honesty that it is scary. For example, whenever all those students from Class 1A's rival class ganged up on their door trying to intimidate the 1A students saying, "You think you're so hot just because you defeated the League of Villains at the USJ incident? We'll take you on." Like, Bakugo was not fazed by them at all. Like, literally, he had that nonchalant face on, walked through the crowd, and everybody was like, "Hey, stop pushing me." And Midoriya was like, "Bakugo, aren't you worried about them?" Bakugo's exact words: "None of these people matter. All that matters is that I beat them." Holy fuck, okay? Holy fuck. When I heard that, I swear to God, when I heard him say that, I was like clapping. I was doing a round of applause. I was dropping it to the floor. I was baking cookies for Bakugo because he said that, all right? Dropping literally the ultimate flex in the whole entire series. "None of these people matter. All that matters is that I beat them." Ouch. Yeah, that was harsh, but was it true? Yes. Bakugo has a goal. He has a mission in mind to become the number one hero, to surpass All Might, to surpass all of his peers, and he's not going to let anyone get in the way of him. He's not going to let anyone get in the way of that. He's not going to let anybody take that dream from him. He's not going to let anybody intimidate him. By God, if anybody intimidates Bakugo, it should be Kibutsuji, because I don't think no one's going to intimidate that boy. He is so... Oh, I love that honesty. And that honesty is something that you can only get in like a true fire sign. Like an Aries, a Leo, a Sagittarius. That is a fire. That is a fire right there. He has some fire qualities in him. That is why I love him. So all in all, looking at Bakugo's personality, he is a little bit of a show-off. Well, let me rephrase that. A lot of a show-off. He has a very aggressive nature. He is driven. He is a strategist. He is smart. He is fiery. He is blunt. He is scary. He is honest. Who else do you think I am talking about when I say this? What zodiac sign do you think I'm talking about when I'm saying this? There's only one coming to my mind. And if you look up his birthday, I'm pretty sure it's going to tell you the same exact thing. Bakugo, my verdict is that he is an Aries. He is an Aries, an Aries, an Aries, as an Aries is an Aries, okay? He is fire. He is blunt. He is true. He is honest. Aries are honest. Aries is the ram. They charge head on straight into situations without even thinking. They are very impulsive. They have a very dynamic nature to them. They do not give a shit. They are going to charge if they want to charge. That is Bakugo. He has an inspiration to become the number one hero and will take out anyone who stands in his way. Now, don't think Aries is all bark and no bite. Now, no. Aries is probably one of the only signs on the chart that has all of the bark and all of the bite, okay? Being ruled by the god Mars gives them all the roar and the claws to come with it. Aries hold nothing back and are known to dive headfirst into situations, all right? They are fire. They are quick to move like fire. They can develop a strategy in a matter of seconds. They're quick on their feet, all right? Bakugo. That is Bakugo. And also, you do have to realize Aries, A-R-I-E-S, is literally Ares, A-R-E-S, the god of war, who was a very brute, very honest, but a master war strategist and a superior warrior. Hence, why Bakugo has some of his traits. Now, as for his moon sign, I honestly believe Bakugo's moon is in Sagittarius. Because Sagittarius is another form of fire, which, if you put a Sagittarius moon, if you find someone with a Sagittarius moon, don't be surprised if they have a very bombastic energy. Oh, wow. Bakugo doesn't have a bombastic energy at all. He is so calm and he is so content. Right. No, he's Aries' son and has the fucking Sagittarius moon. He's about to be like a time bomb that's about to go off. All right. But Sagittarius moon, the main thing about Sagittarius moon is that they have a need for freedom. They have to have the freedom to do what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. And that is definitely Bakugo. Sagittarius, they don't live by borders. If you confine them, they will rebel. And as I said, Sagittarius have an intense energy to them. Sagittarius, especially Sagittarius moon, love to live by the truth. They don't lie. When was the last time you seen Bakugo lie in this whole entire series? Yeah. He don't lie. He's very honest, very blunt. And if he feels like he doesn't have anything to say, he won't say it. But most of the time, he has something to say. Just saying. He also develops the trait of Sagittarius moon that is to always excelling past the competition, excelling past himself. Sagittarius moon are known to really push themselves beyond the limit and try to excel past their competition, not just because they believe that everything revolves around them or anything like that. It's just that they are very competitive. They like the thrill of winning and they like to crush their competition. That is a Sagittarius moon for you right there. They get a thrill from the conquest and get excited about the win. Hey, this may be the reason why Bakugo intimidates the shit out of people whenever he sees them. I don't know, maybe he just likes he likes the thrill of winning. Meanwhile, Aries over here gives him the very passionate and intimidating aggression, bluntness, and superiority complex. When you combine those, you get a very egotistical, hot-headed, competitive individual. Bakugo. Just saying. And last but not least, the Scorpio Rising. Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. So, let me repeat this. Aries Sun, Sagittarius Moon, and a Scorpio Rising. If anyone who knows astrology is listening to me, you know this is a combination that you do not need to fuck with. That is like a Madea about to go the hell off combination, okay? That is like a Rihanna bitch better have my money combination. That is like some Cardi B Bodak Yellow shit going on, okay? You do not fuck with him. But the funny thing about all of it is that Scorpio Rising has a very intense look to them. Sometimes it's a very dark look, sometimes it's a very sharp look, sometimes it's a very sultry look, but Bakugo has that. He's not like sultry, but he has a very sharp look to him. And because of those very sharp features, people don't know how to take Bakugo. That plus his bombastic personality, but that Scorpio Rising makes it even harder because people are intimidated by his look, his sharp features. So what our brilliant firehaired Bakugo needs to learn how to do is he needs to learn how to hone in on his features. He needs to learn and accept that, yeah, I do get angry pretty easily. Yeah, I am very aggressive, but I am a great leader. I can get what I want. I have a direct way of going about things. I can just take and go. Like, he needs to learn how to hone in on that and learn how to not consistently bash and bash and bash and just go. Because that nature will be the crux, the crutch for him in becoming a hero. People already think he's a villain because of his assertive and aggressive nature. If he can just learn how to hone in on his talents and his leadership skills and his intelligence and stop being so impulsive and stop having such a huge ego, he can actually get somewhere. And he can actually achieve what he wants, because having an Aries sun is pretty, that's a pretty powerful thing. You can do anything you want. You can conquer the world because you have that energy to do it. Having a Sagittarius moon gives you the power to not take bullshit, that you'll do what you gotta do so you can stay free and live the life you want to live. And also having that Scorpio rising really as that kick, the intimidating kick that make people like scared to fuck with you. Like, it makes people a little ooh to fuck with you, because you have that energy of don't mess with me. And if he can just hone in that in a very healthy way, he can be an awesome hero. But yeah, that is Kosuke Bakugo's astrology reading. And that is it for the podcast today. I am so glad you tuned in. I hope you had a great time. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to the podcast. That way you will not miss another episode. And if you ain't subscribing, then you might as well subscribe, because you lasted this long, so apparently you liked hearing me. And please follow my anime blog / my website at mamaknowsanime.com, which is M-A-M-M-A knowsanime.com. Yes, that's three M's in mama. M-A-M-M-A knowsanime.com. That is where I post the content of what I talk about in this podcast, but in blog form. That is also another way you can find me and my podcast, by clicking the podcast link at the top of the page and clicking on the link from there to subscribe to the podcast. And that is also where you can find exclusive merchandise designed by yours truly of a specific anime character that I'm not going to give you the name of. However, I will say, she is hot, and she is an Aries herself, and let's just say she helps the main character fight evil by moonlight and win love by daylight. I almost broke out into song, but I know that's a copyright right there. However, she's hot. You probably already know who I'm talking about. I am going to do more stickers of the whole entire team, and also some gender bent stickers. I got some prints on the way. I already have a print of her. It's going to be awesome. So stay tuned for that, you all. Now to my kings and queens and those in between, it was nice knowing you. I hope you had a great time. Stay fierce, stay awesome, and always do you and listen to nobody but you, okay? Itadakimasu. Have a good one.